That's chapter 9, continuing with the limbs of devotion. This is 30. This is called Puja Archana. So Puja Archana means offering materials. The offering of the materials along with mantra to Lord Krishna after purifying those items or elements is called Archana. In other words, worshipping the deity in the temple. So to worship the Srimurti with various kinds of articles or upacharas is called Pujana or Archana. Worship of the Lord with five articles is called Panchopachara Pujana. These five items include sweet scents, Gandha, flowers, Pushpa, 3 incense, Dup, 4 a lamp, Deep, and 5 offering of edibles, Naivedya. Worship of Bhagavan with 16 articles is called Shodasho Upachara Pujan. 16 items are as follows. A sitting place, Idam Asanam, welcoming or inviting the deity. Prabho Kripya Sukatam Kuru, Telling Krishnaya Namaha. 3, sipping of water for purification. Idam Machamaniyam, Telling Krishnaya Namaha. 4, water for washing the feet of the deity. Etat Padyam Klim Krishnaya Namaha. 5, water for washing of the deity's mouth. Idam Argyam Klim Krishnaya Namaha. 6, an oblation of honey, ghee, milk, curd and sugar all mixed together. Esha Maruparka Klim Krishnaya Namaha. 7, the sipping of water for purification again. Idam Purnar Achmaniyam Klim Krishnaya Namaha. 8, the bathing of the deity. Idam snaninam klim krishnaya namaha. 9, clothes, vasana. Idam sotriya vastram klim krishnaya namaha. Then 10, ornaments. Idam avaranam klim krishnaya namaha. Then 11, sweet scents. Esha gandha klim krishnaya namaha. 12, flowers. Esha pushpa. Idam pushpam klim krishnaya namaha. 13, lamp, Esha Dipo, Klim Krishnaya Namaha. 14, incense, Esha Dupo, Klim Krishnaya Namaha. 15, offering of edibles, Idam Navedyam, Klim Krishnaya Namaha. Idam Navedyam, Mishna Paniyajalam. Idam Ana Vyanjana, Mishna Paniyajalam. Navedyam, Klim Krishnaya Namaha. That's 15. 16, sandalwood. Etat sachandanam tulsipatram klim krishnaya namaha. In the Vishnu Rahasyam it says, Sri Vishnu Rachanam yetu prakuravanti narabhuvi te yanti shashvatam vishnur anandam paramparam. Those who worship Bhagavan Sri Vishnu attain to the supreme abode of Vishnu, which is eternal and full of transcendental bliss. And on page 78 here, we have rendering of service to the Lord. It's called Paricharya. Archan means to worship the deities in the temple. Rendering service to the Lord means worshiping Krishna in just the way that a king is worshipped in his palace. Jiva Goswami says that Paricharya means using the same accessories we would use to serve a king. For example, when we take the deity in procession, we may hold an umbrella over his head or carry his palanquin or fan him with a chamara whisk, as one would do when worshipping a king. We see this also when you go to Jagannath Puri and you see the Gajapati Raj come out for Rath Yatra. He rides in a palanquin and then he's surrounded by one man is carrying a very large white umbrella over his head, because the white umbrella is a symbol of the king. It's reserved for the king. No one else is supposed to use a white umbrella. Paricharya actually means service or attendance upon the Lord. There's a verse Rupa Goswami quotes here. Paricharya tu sevo pa karanadi Parishkriya Vita Prakirnika Chatra Varitradya Rupasana. To serve Krishna like a king is called Paricharya. In this service, there are two kinds. One is cleansing and purifying the articles to be offered in worship of the Lord. And the second one is to render service to the Sri Vigraha by waving chamara, holding umbrella over the deity, playing musical instruments, and other such services. He quotes Naradiya Purana, that if a person stays in the Lord's temple even for a few moments, he can surely achieve the transcendental kingdom of God. And he also quotes the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how one who engages in the service of the Lord is delivered from the cycle of birth and death. The 32nd limb of devotion is called singing, which means gitam. So the sadhaka should sing songs of the Mahajans in front of the deities of Bhagavan. Such songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur Mahashaya, especially, and other great saints in the Gaudiya tradition, Lochan Das Thakur. Such songs are steeped in prayer, expressing the moods of surrender to the Lord and yearning for the personal service of the Lord. So it's called Lala Samayi and Sharanagati. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has one songbook called Sharanagati with over 60 songs in it. And see Lalasa hankering for some perfectional stage. So next, the 33rd item is Sankirtanam, congregational chanting of the Lord's name, or singing loudly. When many faithful devotees, under the guidance of Mahapurushas, assemble together and loudly chant the holy name of the Lord for the pleasure of Krishna, it's called Sankirtan. Shiva Goswami explains this in Krama Sandarbha. Sankirtanam Pahubir Militva Tadgana Sukham Sri Krishna Ganam. The Chaitanya Charitamrita and also Hari Bhakti Vilas and other scriptures explain that Nam Sankirtan is the most powerful and important limb of bhakti, of all the 64 limbs and 9 Navavida bhakti and Panchanga bhakti. Well, basically boils down to Ekanga bhakti. Simply chanting the holy names of the Lord, this is the best means of purification, elevation, and the best activity. In the Vishnu Dharma, there's a statement. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that chanting is the foremost. Vajanera Madhya Shrestha Navavira Bhakti Krishna Prema Krishna Dite Dare Mahashakti Taramati Sarvashrestha Nam Sankirtan Niraparari Namalaile Paya Premadan. So the 9 limbs of bhakti, the bhajan is the best. It gives Krishna prema and gives Krishna, and it possesses great power. Nam Sankirtan is the best of all, and it should be done without any offenses. And if one chants without any offenses, he will attain the wealth of Krishna Prema. That's a translation. So Bhagavan Nam Sankirtan is the best of the 9 practices of devotional service. If one performs Nam Sankirtan without any offenses, he attains the wealth of Krishna Prema. Especially in Kali Yuga, there's actually no other way to attain perfection. Harinam, 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 Evakevalam. Kalo Anasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. And Jiva Goswami says in Sandarvas that in Kali Yuga, one may perform other angas of bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Saparanam, Archanam, Parasevanam, Vandanam, Sakyamatna, Vedanam, but they must all be accompanied by Srinam Sankirtan. Ate eva yad yan yapi bhakti kalo kartavya tada tat samyogi naivet yuktam. Prabhupada quotes the Vishnu Dharma saying that the word Krishna is so auspicious, that simply by chanting it, one immediately gets free from the sinful reactions of many, many births. Now this is Nam Sankirtan. You can also sing about the Lord's pastimes. Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavatam, 9th chapter, 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that simply by hearing about, Prahlad is saying simply by hearing about the pastimes of Krishna, Leela Kirtan, that he'll get free from all sinful reactions. And then he's talking about Leela Kirtan. And then there's another quote here, Prabhupada refers to Narada Muni from 1st canto, he's talking about Guna Kirtan. Anyone who glorifies the chants the glories or qualities of the Lord, he becomes free from all sinful reactions. And there's also some other references here. It says, singing the name of the Lord, actually in the original Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada, he puts this under one category, Sankirtan. But actually, in this discussion on page 79-80 in Nectar Devotion, it's incorporated three different shlokas from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One shloka refers to the glories of Nam Sankirtan. The other shloka refers to the glories of Leela Kirtan. And the other shloka refers to the glories of Guna Kirtan. The extra shloka says like this. Tatranama nama kirtanam yata vishnu dharme krishnaiti mangalam nama yasya vachi pravartate bashmi bhavanti rajendra mahapata kakotaya. The utterance of the holy name of Krishna reduces to ashes millions and millions of sins of the gravest kind. Now the next text, which is actually text 147 Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, says Leela Kirtanam Yata Saptame Soham Priyasya Surida Paradevataya Leela Katastava Nrsingha Nrsingha Virin Shigata Anjasti Tarium. Says, singing the pastimes of the Lord, Leela Kirtanam. So that's it. Quotation from Prahlad Maharaj. And then verse 148 discusses about Guna Kirtanam, singing the praise of the Lord's transcendental qualities. His Nam Kirtan, Guna Kirtan, and Leela Kirtan. In other words, Kirtan. All about the Lord's name. The next entry is Japa. Number devotional limb number 34. Mantrasya sulagucharo japaedya vidiyate lagucharo. Mantrasya sulagucharo japaedya vidiyate. Very, very silent utterance of the mantra or the revealed syllables of transcendental potency is called japa, or silent muttering. Prabhupada translates this as, chanting a mantra or hymn softly and slowly is called japa. Chanting the same mantra loudly is called kirtan. In Padma Puran, it says, in offering obeisance to Krishna, for any person who chants or utters Krishnaya Namaha silently, past liberation and even heavenly planets are opened up. Padma Puran says, Krishnaya nama ityesha mantra savarta sadaka bhaktanam japatam bhupa swagamoksha phalaprada. Krishnaya nama. It is said in the Padma Puran that the mystic mantra Krishnaya namaha, which means offering obeisance to Krishna, offers men all the values of life. It gives heaven and liberation to those devotees who are engaged in muttering this mantra silently. Krishnaya namaha, Krishnaya namaha. So this Vinchivat Japa specifically mentions a particular mantra, although Prabhupada mentions Hare Krishna mantra. He says one can chant the Maha Mantra softly for one's own hearing, called Japa, very softly, only for one's own hearing. And chanting the same Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, loudly for being heard by all others is called Kirtanam. The Maha Mantra can be used for Japa and Kirtan also. Because in the original Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, Prabhu Goswami mentions the principle first in his own language, the limb of devotion. Number 34, he says Japa. He defines Japa as silent utterance of the mantra. He doesn't say which mantra. Then when he gives his Shastra Praman to back up his point, the Shastra Praman for limb number 34 of devotion, 34 out of 64, he gives the Padma Puran. This is just, and then in that Padma Puran he says, this is the evidence or the proof that he's giving for this chanting of Japa. He says, when one chants the mantra, Krishnaya Namaha, which means I offer obeisance to Krishna, then one gets liberation for one who chants this mantra in Japa. Rupa Goswami doesn't say anything about Hare Krishna mantra or Kirtan or Japa. But Srila Prabhupada gives his unique commentary on his nectar devotion. And he takes this principle of Japa and he applies and he says that it means Hare Krishna mantra. Although Rupa Goswami doesn't directly say that. He says Krishnaya Namaha. So the word Krishna is there and the word Krishna is also there in the Maha Mantra. Because Prabhupada doesn't mention that point in his nectar devotion about Krishnaya Namaha. He just says, he talks about the Maha Mantra. Because that's the best way to offer obeisance is the Krishna, is to chant the Maha Mantra. Actually, in the Vishnu Chakravarti's commentaries, he explains that this japa, the utterance of the holy name and mantras, there's three kinds of ucharana. One is vachika, verbal, upamshu, whispering, and manasika, within the mind. So when one performs japa with clear, audible enunciation of the mantra, it's called vachika japa. When one very softly pronounces it with slight movement of the lips, which can only be heard by one's own ears, it's called upamshu japa. And when one meditates on a nama or mantra within the mind, it's called manasik japa. Sanatana Goswami explains that vachika japa is included within the anga of kirtan, and manasik japa is included within the anga of smaran. So the practice of nam smaran, it will take a long... One cannot obtain spiritual bliss as long as the heart remains impure. Whereas one practices nam sankirtan, it does not depend on purification of the heart. Therefore nam smarana, or manasik japa, is less effective than nam sankirtan, and nam sankirtan is stressed in greater importance. So it's better to chant out loud. As Haridas Thakur said, what is better, to feed yourself or to feed yourself and feed 1,000 people? So it's better. What is better, to chant silently and meditate on the name Nam Smaran or do Manasik Japa, or is it better to chant out loud and benefit yourself and benefit 1,000 others? So Haridas Thakur presented this analogy, and obviously the conclusion is it's better to feed oneself and feed 1,000 people, or better to chant out loud for oneself and to chant loudly for the benefit of other living entities.
After japa, page 80 of Nectar Devotion, which is the 34th limb of devotion, there's also the 35th, which is Stavapat, recitation of songs or hymns in praise of the Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam, and especially the books by the six Goswamis, contain many stavas and stotras, or hymns of praise that are saturated with the mood of prayer offered to Sri Guru, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Srimati Radhika, Sri Vrindavan Dham, Navadvip Dham, Giriraj Govardhan, Jamuna Radhakun, Shyamakun, and so on. The sadhaka should recite these various astakams with great love and devotion, like Govardhan Dashtakam, Vrindavan Ashtakam, Yamuna Ashtakam, Radha Kripa Kataksham. And then the 36th element is Mahaprasad Seva, honoring the remnants of food offered to the deity. This is a very powerful medicine, accepting the Lord's Mahaprasad, which will make bhakti grow within our heart. Now, the 35th item, according to the actual progression of Sanskrit here, is in a Sanskrit shloka of nectar devotion. Harimodishya yatkinchit kritam vigyapanam gira moksha dwara galan moksha hastinaiva vihitastavahiti. Vigyapti, or forms of submission of prayers. The Skanda Puran says that those who are sober devotees offer their submission to the Lord in the following three ways. What's in the next few verses describes the different types of submission to the Lord. Prabhupada mentions three ways here in nectar devotion. So submission, these are forms of submissive prayers, vigyapti. The word vigyapti means prayers to the Lord that one's mind and senses may always be engaged in serving the Lord. In other words, it's a personal prayer of submission in which we express our own sentiments. This is different from the 36th item, which is reciting notable prayers. Sometimes it's explained, whatsoever you offer by words before Lord Hari to make known to him, such is vigyapti alone. By revealing one's mind and opening the heart before the Lord, the doors of liberation are wide open. There are three ways by which one can express himself before the Lord. One is called Sampratana Atmika. These are prayers of wholehearted submission of body, words, and minds, everything to the Lord, where we express our heartfelt desire for spontaneous devotional service. Here's an example from Padma Puran. Yuvatinam yata yuni yunancha yuvato yata manobi ramate tadvan manobi ramatam twayi. This is a famous verse. Rupa Goswami is quoting, "My Lord, I know that young girls have natural affection for young boys, and that young boys have natural affection for young girls. I am praying at your lotus feet that my mind may be attracted unto you in the same spontaneous way." Another translation is this: "Let my mind be fixed on you alone, my Lord. Just as the minds of young men and women remain occupied in thoughts with their young lovers." So this is element of devotion. Vigyapti, which is page 80 of the Nectar of Instruction. And then there's a second type of prayer. It's called Dain Yavon Bodhika. It means making known to Lord Krishna one's insignificance and worthlessness. And the third one is Lala Samayi, making known one's yearning for some perfectional stage for the personal service of the Lord, desiring some perfectional stage And this, when one realizes and understands his original position as Krishna's eternal servant and a loving relationship, then he wants to be reinstated in that position. This is called lalasamayi, which means very eagerly desiring to go to one's natural position. This lalasamayi comes in the stage of sarup siddhi. So this is a prayer to be reinstated in our specific eternal service to Krishna, nitya seva. Narada Muni's example is given here as lalasamayi. In the mood of a servant, he prays to be engaged in the service of fanning Lord Narayan as he rests with his consort Lakshmi. So this is different from Sampratana Atmika, because here one desires specific results due to the direct realization of his eternal mood of devotion. So this is the mood of this Dainyo Bodhika Vigyapti is here on page 81. Quoting Padma Puran, where one Dainya means a great mood of humility. So one prays in submission and humble humility. Oh, my dear Lord, there is no sinful living entity who is more of a sinner than myself, nor is there a greater offender than myself. I am so greatly sinful and offensive that when I come to confess my sinful activities before you, I feel most ashamed. So this lalasamayi vigyapti, or one's hankering for a perfectional stage, this applies to one that has attained rati or bhava. So this is at the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti, or very advanced devotion. There's another example of lalasamayi vigyapti. In Narada Pancharatra, a devotee explains, oh, Pundrikaksha, O lotus-eyed Lord, when will that day come on the bank of the Yamuna where I shall become like a madman and continuously chant your holy name while tears incessantly flow from my eyes? And Prabhupada explains this lolium, or this eagerness, is actually the essence of Lord Chaitanya's teachings to develop intense hankering for Krishna consciousness. Ramananda Roy instructed Lord Chaitanya, "Tatcha lolium api mulyam ekalam." This is the only route that Krishna consciousness can be obtained, only by paying one price. That is intense greed to obtain it. Prabhupada explains that one must be very excessively eager for meeting and serving the Lord in a particular way. And Prabhupada goes on to say on page 83, one should learn how to cry for Krishna. If one learns this small technique, he'll become very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolium. And such tears are the price for the highest perfection. So this is the very important aspect of vigyapti. Just to summarize, vigyapti means to make known one's prayer at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, or to describe one's miserable condition, his deceitfulness, his attachment to material existence, his helplessness, and to pray in a despairing voice for deliverance, as well as attainment of the eternal service of Krishna's lotus feet. It's called vigyapti. And there's three kinds of vigyapti. Sampratanatmika, which means to pray with wholehearted submission of mind, body, and everything to the Lord. And Dainya Bodhika, making known one's insignificance and worthlessness. And Lalasamayi, yearning for the personal service of the Lord. So although this whole discussion up to this point of chapter 9 is describing Vaidhi Sadhana and the dos and don'ts and principles
avaiti sadhana, devotional service and practice, or further consideration of devotional principles. And his commentary on this section, Jiva Goswami says that this type of vigyapti, lalasamayi vigyapti, desiring for a particular eternal service of the Lord, actually comes under the heading of Raganuga Bhakti, which has not been introduced yet in the text of Nectar of Devotion. It comes later. At any rate, it is being mentioned here. The next item is reciting notable prayers, stavas and stavarajas. So these are, it's obvious here one recites prayers that are actually given in the Shastras and various songs from the songbook or other prayers or shlokas from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Actually, the Bhagavatam has, there's the Rudra Gita, there's prayers of the gopis, prayers of so many great devotees in the Bhagavatam, which can be recited. And the Sringa Purana explains that anyone who comes before the deity of Krishna and recites different prayers, stotras and stavas, is immediately relieved from all the reactions of sensual activities and becomes eligible without any doubt to go to Vaikuntha. Now the next item is taking prasadam, which is mentioned as naivedya swadam, page 84, Nectar Devotion. A person who honors the prasad and regularly eats it, not exactly in front of the Lord, in front of the deity, along with charanamrita, achieves the results of pious activities which are obtained through 10,000 performances of sacrificial rites. So you can take mahaprasadam, you can take in front of the deity, but a little bit to the side, not exactly in front. You can say outside the sanctum sanctorium. Naivedya means rice, fruits, tulsi, etc. Vishnu Chakravarti explains that chewing betel is an offense, but there's no offense to honor naivedya, food offered before the deity in the temple. So one can't sit down and have a full meal in front of the deities, but there's no harm if one takes a small bit of mahaprasadam or charanamrita. Because by doing this, especially taking charanamrita, and then and once the devotion develops very nicely. Next item is drinking charanamrita. Padma Purana glorifies the tremendous spiritual value that if one has never been able to do any charity or sacrifices or study the Vedas or worship the Lord, in other words, one who has never done any pious activities will become eligible to enter the kingdom of God simply by drinking charanamrita. It's called charanamrita panam, drinking the nectar used to wash the lotus feet of the Lord. Then the 39th item, 36 maybe, smelling the incense and flowers offered to the deity. Haribhakti Sudhodaya says, when devotees smell the good flavor of the incense offered to the deity, this is the surest antidote for earthly attachments. They become cured of the poisonous effects of material contaminations. Any devotee who comes into the temple should always offer something to the deity, fruit, flowers, incense. If one cannot offer anything, then one and cash, then something else must be offered. It's actually said that one should not come empty-handed before the Lord. It comes under the category of Sri Murti Darshanam. Vishnu says that sadhakas should take daily darshan of the Sri Vigraha of Krishna, either in the temple or one's own home. By this regular darshan, one will directly taste the sweetness of the Lord. And the next item is Sri Murti Sparshanam, touching the deity. Well, back to the point about smelling incense and flowers, is that the Bhagavatam explains, rather, in the Agastya Purana, Agastya Samhita, it says that just to purify the impurities of our nose, our nostrils, we should try to smell the remnants of flowers offered to Krishna in the temple. And this touching a deity, the Vishnu Dharmottara says that a person who is pure and has firm faith in Sri Murti is freed from all sins and fulfills all his desires by touching the Sri Murti of Lord Vishnu. So it's a very powerful practice, Sri Murti Sparshanam. It's one of the limbs of devotion. We touch the feet of the deity or put our head on the feet of the deity. So it says that we become free from all sins and fulfills our desires, because the Lord is like a couple of riksha tree. He is a chintamani. Any contact with the Lord will yield perfection. So with that faith and with that submission, we can humbly touch the feet of the Lord after we've taken bath and put on tilak. And then there's seeing the deity. There's Aratrika Darshanam. In the Varaha Purana, there's a statement when devotee says, "My dear Vasundhara, any person who goes to Vrindavan and sees the deity of Govindadev is free from the courthouse of Yamaraj and attains the fruits of piety by entering the highest planetary system wherein the demigods reside." Vishnu Chakravarti comments in this regard that Rupa Goswami is mentioning these different fruitive results of these various activities, because although, and they're actually true from these different shastras and puranas, because Rupa Goswami wants to induce worldly minded people to go to get darshan of Govindadev. But in fact, bhava bhakti or rati in Lord Govinda is the real goal for the desireless devotees. So when we go to see Krishna, we don't go to accumulate piety by which we can go to heavenly planets, and we don't go to take darshan so we can become free from going to hell. We go to take darshan of Krishna, a deity form, in order to increase our attachment and love for him and to advance to the platform of bhava or prema. And now there's observing arti and celebrations of the Lord. Skanda Purana says that if one sees the face of the Lord, viewing the Lord with the light of the ghee lamp while the arti is going on, he can be relieved from the sinful reactions coming from many, many thousands and millions of years past, even the most heinous sins. So it's extremely beneficial to see the ghee lamp being waved before the Lord. Although arti often has, there's many items, incense and water conch and napkin, flowers, chamara, especially to see the Lord's face illuminated by the rays of the ghee lamp is extremely most purifying of all the articles offered during arti. The Agni Purana says, any person who happily sees the worship of the deity in the temple will obtain the results of Kriya Yoga, which are described in the Pancharatra scripture. So now, this is chapter 10, Nectar Devotion. which is techniques of hearing and remembering. And there's a quotation, Rupa Goswami, he quotes from the Garuda Purana by saying, the state of conditioned life in the material world is just like that of a man lying unconscious, having been bitten by a snake. This is because both such unconscious states can be ended by the sound of a mantra. So the Vaishnava's mystic syllables are Krishna's name, whereas in the, when one is bitten by a snake, there are some tantric persons will chant some mantras, other types of syllables by which they can counteract the effect of snake poison, which is actually possible. It's a very ancient secret art, but it's known by different tantric persons. So to hear descriptions, this is Shravanam, hearing. To hear the descriptions of Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes is called Shravan, hearing. There's no difference between Krishna's Nam, Rup, Gun and Lila Kata. All the potencies of Krishna are invested in them. Nija Sarva Shakti, as Lord Chaitanya praised in Shikshastakam. What happens when one hears about the Lord, hears his name or qualities or pastimes, then Krishna actually enters the heart of the listener through the medium of hearing, Lila Kata, and there he personally destroys all the anarthas, unwanted things, and the contaminations which are situated in the heart. And then he transmits prema bhakti there. This is explained in the Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 2nd chapter, verse 17. Shrinvatam svakatam Krishna punya shravana kirtanaha hridyantaksto yabhadrani virunoti saritsatam. There's some mention. In the 4th canto, there's a description with Prabhupada quotes on page 90. It says, Shukadeva Goswami says, dear Parikshit, one should stay at a place where the great acharyas speak about the transcendental activities of the Lord, and one should give oral reception to the nectarine river flowing from the moon-like faces of such great personalities. If someone eagerly continues to hear such transcendental sounds, then certainly he will become freed from all material hunger, thirst, fear, and lamentation, as well as all illusions of material existence. So he also talks about hearing the qualities of the Lord. In the 12th canto, chapter 3, verse 15, it states, a person who desires pure bhakti to Krishna, who is praised by transcendental sound vibrations, should always hear about Krishna's glorification and transcendental qualities. This will surely kill all kinds of inauspiciousness in the heart. So in summary, there's basically three ways to hear. One is called Nam Shravan, to hear Krishna's name. Two is Charita Shravan, to hear about Krishna's sweet pastimes. And three is Gunadi Shravan, to hear about Krishna's qualities. This item is called Tat Kripa Pekshanam, anticipating the mercy of the Lord, or expecting the Lord's mercy. This is number 44, it's page 91, Nectar Devotion. The first quotation is from 10th canto, chapter 14, verse 8, which are the prayers of Lord Brahma, famous prayers, very famous verse, Prabhupada quotes. Actually,
most of our life in this world is spent suffering results of our sinful reactions from this life and previous lives. But devotional service is so practical that it can transform our suffering into an opportunity to perform sadhana bhakti. It only requires the right attitude. In this verse of Brahma Vandanam, Rupa Goswami explains that there's two ways to practice Krishna consciousness in adverse situations. So the verse is Tateinukampam susamikshamano pujanaivatmana kritam vipakam ridvagvapurbir vidadannamaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhak. Prabhupada translates this verse as, "My dear Lord Krishna," said Brahma, "any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, kritam vipakam, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim." So in this verse, there are two points. One is that by accepting the reactions, we should accept the reactions we're suffering from as the Lord's mercy. And two, we should respond to the suffering by tolerating it and repeatedly offering our obeisances to Krishna within the mind. It says, rid, vag, vapurbir. With our body, vapu. With our heart, rid, and vag. With our words, we should continually worship the Lord, pray to the Lord, remember the Lord. So this is tolerating, going on with a positive service attitude, accepting everything as a mercy of the Lord. So we should try to clearly perceive Krishna's mercy at every moment in our life. And with great enthusiasm, we should endure with peaceful, steady minds the happiness and distress which will come to us as a result of our prarabdha karma, and just accepting it all as a mercy of the Lord. So that our hearts should be filled with love, and our voices should choke with emotion, and the hairs of our body should stand on end as we offer them ourselves at the lotus feet of Krishna. So the analogy is given that jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. Daya bhak means inheritance. So just as a son is eligible for the wealth of the father, devotees who carry on in this way become eligible for the supreme spiritual wealth called paramparam, or in other words, Bhagavat Prema. The next item is smriti, or called remembrance. So smriti is defined as thinking of Krishna in a general way, or association of the mind with the Lord in any way is called remembrance. So we try somehow or other to remember the Lord, but because of the mind's flickering nature, the remembrance is not constant. So it's called remembering. We may try to remember Krishna's name or form or qualities or pastimes. Rupa Goswami encourages us by quoting Vishnu Puran, where it says that simply by remembering Krishna, one becomes eligible for all kinds of auspiciousness. Therefore, let me always remember the Lord, who is unborn and eternal. In Padma Puran, he quotes, "I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna, because by remembering him, either at the time of death or during the time of life, one becomes freed from all sinful reactions." So this is the general class of remembrance. This expecting the Lord's mercy is called Tat Kripekshanam. So after this entry comes Dhyanam. So Dhyanam is really a more concentrated type of Smaranam or Smriti, remembrance. This is more thorough meditation where one holds a meditation for a longer period of time. Dhyana is called deeper absorption on Krishna's form, qualities, and pastimes. And at the time of Dhyanam, one's mind remains firmly fixed for some time upon a particular object in relation to Krishna. Sometimes it says a deeper, more developed form of remembrance or proper and intense contemplation upon Krishna's beauty, form, qualities, and pastimes. So in these page 92 and 93, there's a discussion about meditating Krishna's form and beauty, his qualities, his pastimes, and there's also a discussion of Manasi Seva. All these things are there. Rup Dhyanam, meditation on Krishna's form. Guna Dhyanam, meditation on Krishna's qualities. Krita Dhyanam or Leela Dhyanam, meditation on Krishna's activities. And Seva Dhyanam, meditation on devotional service to the Lord.